I want to start us off with the very middle verse of this section of 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. These letters we've been studying have been full of concern for sound teaching in the house churches of Ephesus and Crete, with lists of behaviors to avoid and characteristics to practice. But just here, it's as if everything is boiled down to its essence. Remember Jesus, the Messiah our ancestors awaited, and his resurrection. This is the good news. The three pastoral epistles instructed the early Christians to avoid wrangling over words or turning to meaningless talk or stupid controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless, to quote Titus. There's a lot of potential for distraction from the heart of the gospel matter. This isn't to say that a faithful community shouldn't question and challenge and discern new movements of the Spirit together. I think we'll come back to that a bit more when we reach chapter 3. But right now, in this part of the letter, we have this pearl that sums up the content of the gospel, the good news that Paul has taught and passed on to other teachers. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. There's an image that has come up for me again from at least three entirely different sources recently related to boundaries and belonging. Two Australian missiologists, Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch, may have been the ones to popularize this particular image of a centered set church versus a bounded set church. This is how they describe it. In some farming communities, the farmers might build fences around their properties to keep their livestock in and the livestock of neighboring farms out. This is a bounded set. But in rural communities where farms or ranches cover an enormous geographic area, fencing the property is out of the question. In our home of Australia, ranches called stations are so vast that fences are superfluous. Under these conditions, a farmer has to sink a bore and create a well, a precious water supply in the outback. It is assumed that livestock, though they will stray, will never roam too far from the well, lest they die. That is the centered set. As long as there is a supply of clean water, the livestock will remain close by. A commentator on 2 Timothy writes that both theological liberals and theological conservatives can be found focusing on the boundaries. The Aussies offer a different image and focus, a deep well, and a centered set congregation that focuses on what is central. Paul's insistent focus in 1 and 2 Timothy on sound core teaching is a call to keep to core truths, to keep the water deep and pure, to attend to the essentials. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. This is a fitting week to remember and remind each other of Jesus and his resurrection, the week of Halloween, All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day. Shane Claiborne reflected on this in this way. It says, rather than glorifying death, Halloween is a time we can celebrate life, remembering the lives of our loved ones and the heroes of faith. The dead can inspire the living to truly live. While we don't need more gore and blood, there is something sweet about being able to laugh at death and fear, something Halloween gives us permission to do. After all, we know the dead can rise again and death has lost its sting. Halloween is a time to cherish life, laugh at death, and remember that the tombs are empty. This well at the center of our passage that we are called to remember seems all the more important because of what precedes and follows it in this part. Chapter 2 begins with the words, "Be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus," to use one translation, and then exhorts Timothy to share in suffering. The letter then shares three images, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, that call Timothy toward obedience, self-sacrifice, commitment to something bigger than yourself, and self-discipline. All lessons that the turtle Franklin learned too in his story. And there is also the promise in those images that hard work brings harvest. On the other side of the center verse, we are reminded of Paul's time spent in prison as we read, "That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal." This calling is not an invitation to easy street, it's empowerment for the hills and valleys. And then we're given these four lines that look kind of like a hymn or could have been part of a baptism liturgy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Various Pauline letters hold the tensions of death and resurrection in this way and do more theologizing about its meaning in other letters, not as much here. For example, in Romans 6, verses 1 to 6, "Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin." Accompanied by references to suffering and obedience and self-discipline, this letter has moved from the encouragement and empowerment of the first chapter into a reminder that young Timothy has been empowered to teach a gospel that carries tension and risk. For Paul, the risk involved prison and physical harm and abandonment by people he trusted. For others, like the soldier, athlete, and farmer images, for us, there are other risks and tensions that come from reorganizing our priorities, listening to a still small voice above others, including our own, and giving ourselves to a journey that has hills and valleys and droughts, yet also that promise of the first share of the crops. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. That is our well at the center, even as the gospel takes us into challenges and questions that call us toward obedience, self-sacrifice, commitment to something bigger than ourselves, and self-discipline. I believe that four-line liturgy reminds us that there is a lot that we will learn and relearn as we go. The first two lines are promising. Dying with Christ, we will live with Christ. Enduring, we will reign. Then we land on, if we deny Christ, he will also deny us, which may rightly cause us to catch our breath and wonder at what that means. Perhaps to feel a little uncomfortable for a moment at the thought of turning our back on the well that we need to live. But then the fourth line finishes, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The very nature of Jesus, the Holy One of God, is to remain faithful, no matter our wandering from the center, no matter the state in which we return to drink of living water. Lutheran pastor Carl Jacobson says it in this way, God remains faithful, ready to speak and be heard, even in the midst of our faithlessness. This is the paradox of a just God who loves the unjust, a paradox embodied in Christ Jesus. In that paradox, in that tension, lies remembrance, which is that paradox's only resolution. Remember. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. That shorthand for all that Jesus lived and all that Jesus became for us is our well of living water that we drink from, wander about, return to, and around which we meet and see each other. This image becomes more and more important, I think, the bigger you make the concentric circles of the church and more diversity that we contain as followers of Christ. This week, I was thinking again about the Mennonite Church Canada Assembly I attended in July and the many stories I heard of really diverse ways that our family of faith is seeking to listen to and follow Jesus. There were very inspiring and yet also simple stories about ways that the Spirit of God had ignited imaginations, as our theme said, and led to new things beginning. There is an intentional community of young adults in Saskatoon. In Manitoba, there is a monthly brunch church gathering of young parents who found it hard to be part of Sunday mornings but still longed for that community of faith. There was Hokma in Montreal, who are making life-changing connections with people experiencing homelessness and addictions. There was a BC congregation that was noticing that in their community, they have a lot of single-parent families, kids who don't have grandparents nearby, and in the church, a lot of active and healthy retirees. They were wondering how to bring those realities together. There is a real variety of how people are being empowered by the well at the center and being sent out in all directions by God's Spirit. Our guest speaker that weekend, Elaine Heath, shared a really interesting image with us, and I'll show you my really fancy drawing now if you'll indulge me. So she compared two different types of churches to two different weather patterns. So what she called the consumer church over here, which she suggested that we've been indoctrinated into in the last 100 years as sort of the church as a whole, she said it's like a tornado. So a tornado pulls energy into the center of the storm. So she talked about the kind of church that thinks we're only church in a special building, and we bring people in or wait for them to come in, and we spin around and around with busy activity until we know our neighbors less and less. That's what she describes as that kind of church. The apostolic church, she compared to a hurricane, so like a sending church. A hurricane takes the energy at the center, and she had a little heart there for God's love at the center, and flings that energy out. In this image, we're drawn into God's love and sent out, and drawn in and sent out. She also called that Eucharistic, gathered, blessed, broken and sent. This image really struck me. And I hope that as Mennonite Church Canada, we can be that church that is held together at the center by Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and that that energy of new life is what flings us out in all manner of different directions and ministries. And I wonder, too, what that hurricane energy might look like in a single congregation like ours. Our new executive minister of MC Canada, Doug Clawson, just made a new video that reminds us of some of the things we are still doing as a collective body, even though our structure has changed. So I'd like us to watch this and reflect on how we are being drawn into that energy that is at the center of our church, the well of living water that is Jesus, and being sent out in many directions.
Hi, I'm Doug Clawson. I'm the Executive Minister for Mennonite Church Canada. Mennonite Church Canada, you wonder? Isn't MC Canada finished, disbanded, archived, dead even? Well, to borrow a favorite phrase from Paul's letter to the Romans, by no means. Mennonite Church Canada is alive and well because the regional churches that comprise Mennonite Church Canada are alive and well. Okay then. Is MC Canada just a collection of 5 regions that have a gathering every few years? By no means. Mennonite Church Canada is more than that. Some of you may have been at Gathering 2019 in Abbotsford and saw this firsthand. It was a powerful time, and the Spirit's presence was palpable among us. But now we're all back in our local communities. How do you relate and connect to what the Spirit is doing across our nationwide church? Well, it all starts with your local congregation. When each of you faithfully offers your gifts and talents and abilities, the Holy Spirit takes them and multiplies them to bring healing and hope to your communities and to all who grace your presence. When your congregation offers volunteers and finances to your regional church, and your regional church brings its offerings to the nationwide level, the Spirit again multiplies. Marvelous things are happening that go beyond the sum of our parts. Ministry initiatives are growing. For instance, Mennonite Church Canada is a leader in the area of Indigenous settler relations in Canada. Together with ecumenical and grassroots partners, Program Director Steve Heinrichs and our congregations are helping to shift the conversation on Indigenous rights in Canada and in our local churches towards real reconciliation. ISR working groups across our regions are meeting regularly to nurture this healing work. We've also published several books and resources to help educate congregations and communities across the country. You should check them out at commonword.ca. Wait, did I say Common Word? The Common Word Bookstore and Resource Center is a joint venture that we have with Canadian Mennonite University to provide you with Anabaptist-related resources in your homes and congregations. Thousands of digital resources for worship, planning, and/or leadership development are freely accessible online and are available for loan or purchase at great prices. Visit us in the beautiful Marpeck Commons on the CMU campus. It's really something to witness. Wait, did I say witness? Yes, international witness. For nearly 120 years, we have shared the good news of Jesus Christ in places around the world. And together with partner organizations, we have begun hospitals and schools, seminaries, churches, working with many people in many different cultures. Witness work continues today in Thailand, South Korea, China, the Philippines, Benin, and Ukraine. And conversations are moving forward with for partnerships in Myanmar, Vietnam, Bolivia, Ethiopia, and countries in West Africa. It is an exciting time. What we see time and again is the more that is offered, the greater the bounty. And today across our nationwide church and through Mennonite World Conference, we see how the Holy Spirit takes all that is offered in faith and feeds the lives of those who come to sit at Jesus' feet. Mennonite Church Canada looks a little different now, but it is just as committed as ever to God's mission in the world. Through your local congregation, your regional church body, and through Mennonite Church Canada, we are living into what God has called us to be, agents of healing and hope in the world. Mennonite Church Canada is living and growing in faithful service. God bless you for who you are and all that you offer in faith and love.